Welcome back to the Last Lap podcast. Pre-Zandvoort Grand Prix, we're almost finally there. And what are you drinking? The tears that you've been shedding in the last 3 weeks with no F1.
Honestly, mate, it's been a tragedy. It truly has been. You stay hydrated, ladies and gentlemen, with the tears from F1 fans over the summer break. It's been a stressful one. Either that or it's just pure vodka. But either way, yeah, mate. Gassed, we're going to get some Formula One back again soon. Come on.
This, I think, has been the least news-filled mid-season break for many
years. Yeah, there's been
time.
No silly season, man. But you know what that means? That means we're going to have bumper-packed three-hour podcasts when news breaks and there's also a race going on at the same... We won't have that, guys. I'm not going to lie.
Well, no, we always find a way. It's like whenever there's a boring race, we end up talking for longer. It just always seems to happen.
Yeah.
I don't understand because we
we go into waffle mode.
Yes.
Kick that up into fifth gear.
Because you're not trying to get through subjects, so you just get carried away. And just look, this is what we do on the last lap. So don't forget, if you like this kind of content, this kind of waffle, right? Yeah. Don't forget, if you're watching on YouTube, to subscribe, to leave a little comment down below as well to let us know what you think. And if you're listening, ears only, what should they do now?
Yeah, give us a 5-star rating, boys, on audio platforms of your choice, whatever it may be. We're there. Get me. So,
I'd recommend a 5-star. I would.
Yeah, I'd recommend a 5-star. 5.5 if you can.
I mean, if it allows.
Yeah.
You should.
Inspect element, just change it.
But good. Fortunately for us, there has been quite a big topic of conversation that we want to get onto, which is around a certain ex-Formula One driver.
Felipe, baby.
Is he staying cool, Niren?
He's not staying cool. Ironically, he's actually pretty heated about the whole situation.
Should we kind of, for anyone who hasn't kept up to date with goings on, and doesn't remember that 2008 season, because what a season it was.
Felipe
Lewis went to the final race of the year, and Lewis Hamilton would win the title on the last corner of the last lap. The last lap.
Yeah, he actually watched the show before that happened.
Exactly.
He knew. Free promotion.
Those seeds early.
Yeah.
How old was I in 2008? I was 15.
I was 11.
Damn.
Man, we were butts children.
We were
but young littlens. Whippersnappers.
Yes.
In the game.
Throwback. And so Lewis won the championship. What happened. It was unreal. I remember Nicole Scherzinger giving it some in there.
Yeah. But obviously Felipe's family as well in the Ferrari garage until they realised. Yeah, it's pretty peak, that part. But obviously he's not contesting the fact that he lost the championship on the final lap.
No. Nope.
Though that would be an interesting one to contest, because technically he was actually world champion when he crossed the line.
Briefly.
So he technically should be allowed like a smaller version of the trophy, because when he finished the race, he was the champion.
Or give the trophy to Lando. Lando will break the trophy and give part of that.
A small part of it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we can make that happen. We can organise that if that's what the people want. We can make that happen.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You've got the plug.
Exactly, yeah. He's obviously more frustrated about Singapore, where he...
Go on, so let's see how much you
well, he retired anyway, you know, because of the...
Well, he didn't retire, but he finished right at the back, because when he pitted on the safety car...
Back in the refueling
days, it stayed attached, he drove off, he had to stop. He actually spun later in the race as well, trying to come back through. I think at turn 18, he had a little spin. But yeah, basically, Singapore Grand Prix is the whole contentious, because we know that Renault did cheat. They did tell Nelson Piquet Jr. to crash after Fernando pitted really early. Mm-hmm. And then this was back in the days when the pit lane was closed, so it allowed after you know, the safety car comes out. So Fernando benefited massively, got to the front, won the race.
Because
they wanted to... The thought process is Renault were going to pull out, and they were like, right, Briatore and the management were like, we need to get a good result here.
Might as well.
Yeah, and to try
I
and get
hear it,
the
by the way, to be honest. I know the general consensus is that this was a bad thing. Fuck the feds. I'm saying right now, if you're dipping out of the whole sport, you've got nothing to lose.
Do what you got to do.
Get me, just a win's a win.
Fox
at the
sport
end.
Integrity.
Yeah,
out the
exactly. No, man, you're going anyway. If you're leaving, I think there's no rules, personally, to me. I'd say just... If you've got the other driver in place, yep, and you think of a plan,
yeah,
it's like just a villain arc, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Every hero needs a villain, so
it's that needs to be. I'm sure one day someone will make a movie.
Somewhat dramatized.
I mean, Briatore was such a character.
Yeah,
like he for sure. And then you've got all the other pieces involved. But the reason this has come to light now, because obviously that was many, many moons ago.
It was indeed.
Oh my God, it was like double my lifetime ago.
Pardon?
I was 15 then, I'm 30.
Oh, right,
now.
Yeah. So I thought it was. I thought you meant.
Oh my God,
double,
I remember that as well.
I thought you meant it was double your current age ago. And I was like, I don't think it was, to be honest, G.
I need to.
It drink. Was not 90 years ago.
Can I get some of that vodka? I just had a realization there.
It's an epiphany.
So, yeah, the reason it's come to light now is because Bernie Eccleston, who's still knocking about, 92 years old, ex-boss of F1, he did an interview, which he doesn't remember now, which is convenient.
He's 92, to be fair.
Maybe
he remember what happened late this morning.
To be fair, in March, basically saying that he and Charlie Whiting, who's the race director at the time, and Max Mosley, who's the head of the FIA, the equivalent to Mohamed Bensoulayem now, were aware that this was a cheated, intentional thing before the end of the season.
Yeah.
And therefore, the race result should have been overturned. And basically, there is a way in which Felipe wins the championship. Because if that race gets chalked off completely, Felipe lost 6 points relative to Lewis, because Lewis finished third in that race. Felipe finished out of the points. And Lewis won the championship by 1 point.
Yeah.
So Felipe's saying, basically, if you cut that result because it was a cheated win, that he wins the title by 5 points. And essentially the point of this is he's going to court, not necessarily to overturn the championship, but he said he wants compensation. And the quote here, so this is from Massa's lawyers, simply put, Mr. Massa is the rightful 2008 driver's champion, and F1 and the FIA deliberately ignored the misconduct that cheated him out of that title. Mr. Massa is unable to fully quantify his losses at this stage, but estimates they are likely to exceed tens of millions of euros. This amount does not cover the serious moral and reputational losses suffered by Mr. Massa.
Reputational losses? What does he mean by that?
Well, I guess it's the relative...
He didn't win the championship, so he's not considered a champion.
Yeah, I guess it's the relative... Not that Massa's considered... I think it's fair to say if he'd won a championship, in the same way, you know, Button winning a championship...
Yeah, makes him...
Gives him that little bit more reputational, you know, stock, I guess, long term. But what do you... What do you make of it? Because part of the issue and the whole thing is that they deliberately ignored the misconduct. Now, you've got this quote from Bernie Eccleston that he's now forgotten. The other two parties involved are no longer with us. Mm. Charlie Whiting died a few years ago. Max Mosley only died like a couple of years ago. So the burden of proof that they knew, they were consciously aware
It'll
of
be
it.
Tough, yeah.
And not even like to an extent where you think they probably did cheat. No, you knew, actually knew, because this only came out in 2009 when Nelson Piquet Jr., who did the crashing, got dropped. And then he was like, you cheated.
Yeah.
Like,
that was really their issue, wasn't it? Like realistically, Renault, like if looking back now, I back the idea of we're going out, might as well go out with a bang. But you can't then sack
principle.
The guy.
I'm here for it, man.
Yeah, but you can't then. Yeah, no, facts. I'd be. Oh,
that's risky sacking the guy who's doing the dirty work.
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah,
and it blew up in
that's an oversight on their part, really. But I think in terms of like whether Massa is like genuinely owed this and whether he is like. I do hear it, but it just depends what you think the punishment should be for that race as a whole. If you think that the race should be just struck off and didn't happen, whatever, then fine. But like other drivers put in a shift that day that I don't think deserves to be completely wiped from the history books.
Rosberg like only got his debut podium.
Yeah, exactly. I think you'd be wiping so much like Lewis drove well enough to earn 6 points over Felipe Massa that day. Regardless of Renault, like if you were to take Renault out of that race and just remove them, Lewis gains even more points on Felipe because he moves further up the order and Rosberg wins the race or whatever.
Yeah,
There were other things that happened to Lewis that season where it's like poor decision making by the stewards or whatever, and it's
Spa.
I mean, that's
very egregious.
It's insane. So I think you just open like a can of worms that's like that you should firmly keep closed. Mm. No can opener, like at all. Don't utilize that.
Yeah. I do think that
I get where he's coming from, though.
Look, I understand, right? I understand the frustration. Ultimately, when the fact that Ferrari made the mistake.
Yeah.
Because if Ferrari don't make that mistake, Massa comes into the pits. I mean, he was leading the race at the time of the incident. He probably finishes on the podium.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Even if he finishes behind Lewis, even if he finishes two places behind Lewis, because this was back in the day where P1 got 10 points, 8 for P2, 6 for P3. So there were less points on offer and there was less of a spread. I mean, it's 7 points between P1 and 2 now.
Yep, yeah.
Which is like most of the field, the entire point spread back then. So yeah, I think the precedent it sets is a kind of dangerous one. And then it's like, yeah, well, if Massa's going to do this, then can't Lewis go back and try and overturn Spa where, you know, he made the overtake on Raikkonen, the team asked Charlie Whiting if it was okay. And he said, yes, it's fine.
Yeah.
And then he got a 25 second penalty at the end of the race.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's...
Yeah. That's a clear FIA stewarding mistake.
Yeah.
Like you could argue that this is a error to not, you know, wipe those results or remove Renault from them.
And again, this only came to light when Piquet Jr. himself came out and was like, you know, this will happen.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't understand how, you know, Bernie and Max and Charlie would have had like concrete known for sure.
Because rumours and rumblings probably were going on.
There's
like,
a difference.
I'm sure there was talking and stuff, but like...
Of course. Fernando pitted really early and then his teammate crashes and he wins the race. I mean, you're going to... Oh, that's a bit convenient.
Didn't Martin Brundle say at the time on commentary, like during the race, he was like, oh, that was a little bit like...
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's just a natural assumption, isn't
it? Yeah.
The timing was so perfect.
But there's a difference between that and being like, well, do you remember Zandvoort last year when Yuki kind of came back out of the pits and then all the tinfoil hats were like, oh, it's choreographed to help out Max? I'm like, well,
A, he doesn't need the help anyway.
But also that would take so, like, the level of planning to get to that, for the sake of what? No, that just wouldn't happen. But ultimately, yeah, because there is a second Red Bull team,
yeah,
and because it did benefit Max a bit, you're going to be, oh, but like, there's a difference between that and being like, yep, we know for sure, we can legally prove in court that this definitely happened.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Massa's got to prove, that there was not just, but the thing is, you've only got, but Bernie's about as reliable as Fernando's Alpine was last year.
Like, yeah.
You can't trust a word that comes out of that man's mouth.
They'd have to go to like other people that were like higher ups at the FIA at the time that obviously weren't Moseley and Whiting, but obviously the original claim from Bernie is that it was only those three that knew, I'm guessing.
Well, I mean, it seems, I mean, again, the quote is that F1 and the FIA deliberately ignored misconduct. But you know what's quite interesting with this as well? Because it was a letter that was received last Tuesday that Reuters got, and then Reuters kind of released that this was happening.
Mm.
But it's funny because the letter's gone to obviously the FIA, so Ben Sulayem, and to Stefano, who was Felipe's team principal at Ferrari at the time. So Stefano's like, fuck's sake, Felipe, because like, he was on the receiving end of it like then, but yeah. now he's F1.
Yeah.
That's shit, a bit, man.
Yeah, he's literally been involved from both sides
of
the fence, realistically. That's crazy.
So do we think anything will come of this?
I'd honestly be so surprised, because again, just purely because of the precedent they would set where a driver could technically go to F1 and be like, oh, well, this mistake in stewarding or this thing happened that shouldn't have happened at the time. And
yeah.
Like, obviously, yes, this is a massive, like, Crashgate is bigger than like any... Oh, you should have got a 10-second penalty, but it was a 5-second or whatever. Like, Crashgate is massive. Like, knowing that cheating happened and not dealing with it is insane, if that's the case. But I think just either way, any driver, even Lewis, as we said, that season could go, nah, fuck it. I'm challenging Spa. I'm challenging this, whatever.
Yeah.
I think he'll get, I genuinely do think he'll get financial compensation, but I don't think he'll get the title.
I wouldn't be, I guess, does giving him a big financial compensation, because the whole, again, Mr. Massa is the rightful 2008 driver champion. If you then award Massa the, you know what I mean? You're not technically giving him the championship, but also to acknowledge and to admit fault that it was the wrong decision.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Then it starts to get a bit...
It gets muddy as well, because I think...
I mean, to be honest, like, I know, you know, you can't talk about this without people getting far too stressed for your own good. But like, you know, the FIA did say that it was the whole like human error with like Massey and 2021. Now that hasn't changed that Max is the 2021 champion.
Yeah, I guess but also, a similar thing could just happen here.
They could acknowledge wrong. But my question here is, right, so if you're going to argue that the race should have been, regardless of what happened with Ferrari, would Massa be claiming the result of the race should have been scrapped if Ferrari hadn't fucked up the pit stop and he had finished, you know, 2 points behind Lewis, let's say, like P3, maybe Lewis P2 and Nico wins, for example.
Yeah.
You know, Massa would have won the title and this would have all been long forgotten and Crashgate wouldn't have... I mean, part of the reason Crashgate is such a big story is because it's such an egregious thing to happen, but also because
it affects the title.
Inadvertently did, yeah. I mean, you can't directly attribute, because who knows, like maybe Piquet doesn't crash and maybe when Massa does his normal fuel stop, they still fuck it up and it still stays attached.
Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly.
You can't guarantee that.
Yeah.
But like, if Ferrari don't fuck up, then that this isn't a talking point because Massa probably goes on to take a good result and probably wins the championship.
It all comes back to Ferrari being Ferrari.
That's what I mean.
Even back in the day.
Yeah.
Even back in the day, man. And they just won a championship the year before as well. They were still...
I think if that component wasn't there, if the Ferrari fuck-up wasn't there...
Yeah.
That just reminded me. Ferrari fuck-up of the year.
Yeah.
Our awards last year.
Ferrari fuck-up of a decade.
Yeah, exactly. Where does the list end? But it's like... That's where for me, it's just with that additional component, I think even without that, I think it's very hard to prove. But with Ferrari, you know, Felipe should have finished on the podium that race regardless of Piquet crashing.
Yeah.
And they didn't because they fucked up.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's where it becomes kind of hard. Because then it's not Felipe's fault still, but it is... Something happened in the race that wasn't Crashgate that ensured that he lost points. If they fuck up that pit stop, but Piquet doesn't, whatever, the Renault shit doesn't happen, he still loses loads of points to Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, that's the thing. Crashgate isn't the reason he fell out of the points.
No, yeah.
Ferrari are the reason.
Yeah, the fuel hose is the reason why he fell out of the points.
Yeah. It's tricky. We'll see with time. But, you know, Felipe, great driver. That was his last ever win in F1 as well, Brazil.
Really?
He never won again. No. That was his last ever win. And obviously, he had the incident in Hungary, wasn't
Hungary,
it?
But the Ferrari was not very good that year.
Yeah. And obviously, that almost ended his career. And he still ended up having a long career. And look, again, I get it from both points. But for me, this is cap. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you'd endorse... teammate crashing all the time.
Yeah, just add a little bit of spice to that. You know what I mean? So I think it's fine ultimately.
Well,
Crashgate right. 2, let's make it happen.
So we'll see about that. Well,
and it's Perez
talking about a little bit of spice
in the wall.
I think Max would crash for Checo, wouldn't he? No,
not a chance. He didn't even give him six.
No chance. No shot. Max would never concede that. Talking of adding a bit more spice, making F1 a bit more exciting. I was listening to the Sky Sports F1 podcast last week, and Crofty was talking about his thoughts as to how the sprints and certain rules can change. And there was a couple of interesting points he brought up, which I thought would be fun to discuss.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So one he brought up was, should we get rid of blue flags?
Shock. On my life, if we can't go 2 months without this guy saying, let's get rid of blue flags. Crofty, you're great, innit? But like, just...
He's banging that drum.
It's a thing in IndyCar, innit? You don't have blue flags in IndyCar. You gotta just...
I think you're right. Yeah. Yes.
But that's a
right.
long day. If you're a lap down, mm-hmm. You shouldn't get the same privileges as a guy that's on the lead lap.
Okay.
Therefore, if you're a lap down...
Yeah.
The big boys are on the way.
Yeah.
Got to let them through. I don't see why you should start getting involved in it. Though having said that, on the flip side, would cause drama.
It would.
To increased amounts. Like imagine, it's Brazil, 2002, mm-hmm. I think. Montoya overtakes Verstappen, your snot Max. Max was like negative one probably back then.
He was still in his balls.
Yeah, yeah, he was, yeah. Montoya probably kicked him as well after. He overtakes him, laps him, and then Verstappen crashes into him. Montoya's leading the race.
Yep.
Boom, he's out.
Yeah.
If that happened now, there'd be a genuine scraps in Parc Fermé.
Well, you had Ocon try and unlap himself in Brazil.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah.
You are entitled to do that. I think, look,
I just don't know if it makes it more entertaining. I think you just end up with cars stuck behind other cars that are like a lap down.
What's the reason to not do it?
Well, it's just, I think it's pretty much like lapped cars will get in the way. And I guess it's the argument of, should a car that's a lap down, that's like a minute off the base, be allowed to just chill and like hold up guys that are actually battling for a win?
So I would say, what's in it for a back marker to hold up the race leaders?
No,
I don't think there's anything in that. And also, if you are a second a lap quicker, you should be able to overtake them pretty easily.
Yeah, no, true. Yeah.
Without them having to be told, like, you have to, within four flags or whatever it is, you have to concede, otherwise you'll get a penalty. Because then, obviously, a lot of the time you do have these scraps. You'll have a scrap towards the back. Maybe it's like, you know, even if it's just like P13 or whatever, but sometimes it's maybe a scrap for the points if it's been one of these races where, you know, Max has absolutely run away with it and it's lapping, you know, half the field.
Yeah.
But you can get genuine battles in the kind of mid to lower field that do get a bit spoilt by blue flags.
Yeah, no, I hear that.
I think it can go both ways. I think sometimes the blue flag will then, you know, if you're tactical with it, it adds another degree of tacticalness into it. That's not even a word, but I think that I'm not against getting rid of them personally, because I just think, like, well, first of all, I do think that we will get less blue flags in time, because I think the whole field is closer than
it's getting closer
been.
Anyway.
And I think once that's a, less
once,
of a thing.
Maybe once that's the thing, once you've got races where, you know, because we're still getting the odd race every now and again where everyone up to like fucking eighth is getting lapped, and it's like, don't, like, because once you get there, Max Verstappen might actually have a difficult time overtaking Stroll in an Aston Martin earlier on in the season when he arrives to lap him and he's eighth. Like, that won't be a situation of you're going a second lap
actually
quicker than him.
You should be back in this because you haven't thought something.
Oh, okay. Hit me. I probably haven't. That is true. Right, I think very often.
Right. Nirenbriatore, you want the chaos, right? You want the chaos. Mm. Well, all right. Let's say that, you know, you've got, I don't know, say two Red Bulls at the front, right? And then, you know, one of them has a technical issue or gets caught up or stalls on the grid and falls back.
Oh, yeah. I know where this is going.
And then all of a sudden, like later on in the race, Ferrari's giving a bit of pressure. Maybe he's got ahead of one of the Red Bulls. And then
Leclerc's leading the race. Perez, oh no.
Defensive, you know, driving to hold him up. And
then
essentially what Checo did to Lewis at Abu Dhabi 21.
Yeah, but a lap down.
You would be allowed, you'd be entitled to do that.
Yeah, you would. Yeah, without blue flags.
You'd
yeah,
be entitled to do that. And you know what? Like, to be fair, I mean, that again, Checo and Lewis, Abu Dhabi 21, Checo elbows out, but that was fair racing. There was nothing unfair about that.
Oh, Lewis, yeah, no.
And so, like,
but it was for position, wasn't
strategically,
it?
Strategically, obviously, that would be a bit different if you've got an AlphaTauri getting the elbows out to try and help.
The elbows aren't very wide.
Or
sharp.
And then it's like, oh, you've actually kind of got two teams working in the same direction, which, again, I think that's where it gets really messy with having a second team. But like,
see, the corruption side of my brain says that would actually be great. That would actually be amazing. But the logical side of my brain knows that's probably the reason why blue flags exist in the first place. Yeah, is to stop that from happening.
Yeah, but you know, part of me is just like, you know, just let them hash it out. You know what I mean? Like, these are 20 of the best racing drivers in the world, apparently. And
let them
sort
it
out.
Would be chaos. That's all I'm saying. It would be absolute carnage.
I'll be honest, I'm backing it. I'm backing it.
Imagine
a race
blue flags. Where Sergio Perez has dropped to the back.
Yeah.
Because he's Sergio Perez. And then, whoa. It happens. It happens. It's a qualifying mishap.
Checo catching strays, man.
It's a qualifying mishap. I love you, Sergio. He's dropped to the back. He's pitted, whatever, and he's about to get lapped by, I don't know, Lewis Hamilton, who's in the lead, or I don't know, fucking Leclerc's in the lead, or whatever. Lando's in the lead. Sergio starts holding him up, and then a charging Max arrives on the scene. Carnage. Probably all three of them out by the end of the race, probably. But it would be chaos.
Look, I'm not against it. I'm honestly not. I'm not against getting rid of blue flags. And I think it's less of a, again, when you go back, not that far into the past, right, where the slowest cars, I mean, the Haas in 2020. Was it 2021, sorry. Because I remember being at Silverstone for that race, and you can't fathom, until you see it in person, just how much slower them two were than everyone else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And to be fair, that was like the one race where Mazepin was actually quicker than Schumacher. Yeah. So that didn't help, because obviously it was still shit. But it was like, it was mad how like...
Well, you'll get blocked, mate.
How far, I like to think that that relationship's tired. No, you'll get back into their good books one day.
Well, one day.
Get there. But you can't like... Then you kind of, okay, maybe I'll get it. When you've got these cars that are miles off the back, and drivers who are like, you know, back in the 90s, you had these pay drivers who'd barely turned a wheel before and they were jumping in. So it's maybe, but I think in this day and age, I don't think blue flags are a necessity personally.
This episode is just solely about taking things that are like integral to Formula One and just saying, fuck the feds.
Yeah.
And just that's what we're doing here. We're creating a new Formula One, a new era of just, chaos.
Isn't there
corruption?
Like there's a term. Well, I know about corruption.
It's crime.
Don't leave us. Don't give us the key, Stefano. Mm-hmm. We'd make it too good.
Do it.
I think that. what was I going to say? No, I was actually going to say, you mentioned, we said about Checo catching strays. We're not the only one who's been shooting strays at Checo.
Oh, man.
I did find. And this interesting quote. I don't know what prompted this, by the way.
Yeah. Is it just another like board team principals / CEO
just slagging off a driver podcast from another team?
We need Zach Brown on this podcast or something. We need a team principal on this, because you can get titles for days. They just talk.
Mate, like Helmut, we need to like permanently sign him. Get him on a, like, he can sit here in the middle. And then it's just continuous.
Every content. 10 minutes, he'll just say, you know what, furthermore, fuck Sergio Perez. It's like, we didn't even ask you about him, bro. We're talking about Piastri.
Yeah, it must feel a bit weird for Checo, like the fact that Helmut's kind of, you know, lips in Lando continuously as well, right? He's got constantly saying nice things about Lando. Nice.
Yeah.
Hang on a second, I'm still here. But anyway, Zach Brown has had some comments. If Red Bull had two Sergios in the car, with all due respect, it's fine if you say with all due respect.
Oh, not with all due respect.
This championship would kind of be wide open. As much as Red Bull's killing everyone right now, it's really Max is killing everyone right now. That Max-Red Bull combination is just unbeatable at the moment. And Max and the team isn't making any mistakes. Which, you know what, I mean, he's not wrong, is he?
But he really said with all due respect, just to like give him no respect at all.
Yeah, yeah.
That's tough. That's a tough one to take.
It's a tough one. Although, did you see the picture? Because I think it's been Monterey like Car Week or whatever in California. And Zach Brown's there with Adrian Newey. And there's a picture of Adrian Newey with a McLaren cap on. I mean, also Zach's wearing a Red Bull cap, so they obviously did look swapped.
Fuck. You had me in the first half.
He wasn't McLaren back in the day.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Maybe it was a little return.
You know what this showed to me, though? It's like, ultimately, everyone, no matter, we think of these teams as like, right, everyone in this team hangs out together and does their thing and everyone, but actually like everyone knows everyone.
Yeah.
Because you work at, you everyone's working together ultimately, right? Mm-hmm. You're all working in the same circus that's going around the world for years and years. And Adrian's been part of this circus since the late 80s. Mm-hmm. So like
he knows everyone.
He knows people.
Yeah, he does indeed.
He knows people.
Yeah, well, I mean, He might want to get to know Sergio Perez a bit more. Build him a different car.
Yeah.
You know what it is? That quote, it is factually correct. If there were two Sergio Perez's in that car, this title race would be gas. Because you'd have, Red Bull wouldn't be pulling away quite as much. And you'd also just obviously have a bit more, you know, of an even fight between the two Red Bulls.
Well, some of these, even like at Spa, you know, Checo beat Charles by about 6 seconds, I think, in the end.
Which is
not a dominant gap. That's something that, hang on, Charles might have a chance. There's some intrigue.
If something strategical happens or, you know, Sergio makes a mistake, that's a race that's not a Red Bull win. Mm. So I do agree. It's just weird. To me, it is just the pressure. It has to be, right? I know we've talked about Sergio Perez a lot. And I'm not going to, like, you know, dilly-dally on this point. But, like, it has to just be that, right? Because he is a good, consistent driver that has a lot of pace. We've seen that all the way through his career, and he always makes the most of any situation or any car that he's in. But so many times where it was like, oh no, both the Red Bulls and Ferraris are out. I wonder who's going to take that. It's Perez. He's going to finish third in a Force India because he's always there to sweep up when something happens. So it's strange that it seems to be him that's being swept.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's certain drivers work with certain cars. We saw that with Ricardo. You know what I find interesting about this, though, is that I just find this dynamic interesting because, look, we're fans, we're on the outside, we're going to talk and we're going to speculate and we're going to see what we see and we're going to have our opinions because it's sport. But these are people kind of within the sport, and it's just interesting that they're made, because this Zak Brown comment is very much kind of the kind of comment that we've made loads.
Fans
have made loads.
Yeah.
But he's in F1.
Yeah.
And he's going to have a degree of a relationship with Sergio. I mean, Zak Brown's been in the paddock for a long time since, what, he joined McLaren in, was it 2016?
Something like that, yeah.
Because when Alonso was there?
Yeah.
Checo's been in the sport for a long time. It's just interesting to me that, like, imagine like an equivalent with, I don't know, like YouTubers where it was like, this circus, and then I was just making comments about, Niren's all right, but I don't know. Like,
it doesn't bang views, does it?
It doesn't quite do the views of, I don't know, Zeeland does
football manager and stuff. He's not quite thugged, is he? Do you know what I mean?
Big up, big up,
Chaff,
I mean, you know what I mean, but. That's what I find interesting.
Yeah, facts.
Because it's one thing us making these comments from the outside looking in as fans.
Yeah.
But it's another thing those comments coming from the inside. And I'm just thinking, like, is that not just, like, awkward?
Yeah.
Like, if I've gone on record and made comments about you and you not being, like, quite up to standard with your channel.
Yeah.
You're like,
What would you say to me, mate? Yeah, but the thing is, if you said with all due respect before you said it,
that'd be fine.
Yeah, it'd be all right. Gives you a free pass.
That's the get out of jail free card.
That's the get out of jail, honestly. Yeah, no, I do. Yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it? It's a weird sort of dynamic. If you're Sergio walking into the paddock, hearing that, because then it's not just Zak Brown has said that. All right, cool. Zak said that. Because Zak Brown said it and has openly said it and is happy to say it to the media, everyone else thinks it. They just haven't said it yet. So now you're walking into the paddock and everyone in the paddocks, you know that everyone in the paddock's
Yeah, man.
Also, this Sergio guy's not up to scratch.
Whenever these comments come from someone on the inside, you always wonder, like, is there some kind of alternative, like, meaning or something? You know, when we talk about it, right, as fans, we're talking about it, we're calling it as we see it, and we only see a fraction of what actually goes on behind closed doors. These people see what... You got to think, like, whenever Christian Horner says something or Toto Wolff says something, like, they're saying it, must be saying it for a reason because they know the power of their words.
Yeah.
So it always makes me think when I hear a comment like this, like, what's Zak Brown's kind of angle here? Is he just talking like a fan? Or is there some ulterior motive to him saying this? And I apply that to Helmut Marko all the time. He's thinking, like, he knows that him saying things gets headlines and he keeps saying them. So he's like, there must be some kind of theory, like, whether it's, I want to put pressure on a driver to see if they can be like, oh, I'm going to prove you wrong, whatever. Like, but maybe Zak Brown just wants to, I don't know, he's just talking as a fan.
Because especially with him, and it's like, if there is that concern of Lando going to Red Bull, you don't really want to be going... Yeah, lads, I'm not going to lie, Sergio Perez isn't very good. You might be better off with a guy like that, though. You know what I mean? Yeah, go on. It's a bit of a weird, like, if there are those rumours circulating, if Red Bull are, you know, if Helmut Marko is constantly borrowing up, you know, it's just, it's probably not the wisest thing for him to do, really. I'd be like, I personally, mate, he's done a great job as number two driver.
You should keep him
forever. You know what I mean? You know, keep him there. Give him another contract right now because he enables Max to be the driver that he is. Hesky Owen saying.
It's nice. I think the only way Lando leaves McLaren is to Red Bull, I think. So if Checo stays there, then he won't.
Exactly.
I wanted to go to another comment from... Crofty as well. One other point he brought up, which was, so taking the sprints but doing a separate sprint championship. So points from the sprint don't count towards the F1 World Championship.
I like the premise of that, but I hate it because no one will care.
This is what Hannah does this all the time. My wife Hannah. She's like, she always does it. It was like, oh, it feels like ages ago, but actually, no, it feels like yesterday. I'm like, what do you mean? So it just did they not catch each other out?
It's hard to sound smart when you're not actually being smart at all. Like, it's like, yeah, it feels like it's somewhat, you know, smooth, but it's also rugged at the same time. It's like that sort of like contrast thing, yeah. Like what reviewers
so explain to me.
So basically, the idea of that, like, I can understand why that makes sense, because like sprints are totally different to Grand Prix. Mm-hmm. They're just not as long, you know, they're not the same. The same strategy doesn't go into a sprint, whatever. But at the same time, you would get to the end of a season and absolutely no one would care about the sprint championship.
Yes, this is my issue.
Yeah.
Why would anyone give a fuck?
No one would care. The drivers would not give a shit. Like, and then that would translate into the races as well. Like, when a sprint race is, when we're towards the end of a season and we've got a sprint weekend and it's getting to like do or die, yeah, business end of the season. I mean, it's not going to be the case this season because Verstappen's slapping everyone.
Yeah, but
even for a different position in the championship, a sprint weekend means a lot because there's more points on offer.
Yeah.
If you have a separate sprint championship and it's like with three races to the end of the season and you're in a title battle, you're not risking anything for a sprint, for 10 all points right, so a sprint championship. Who cares?
Is there a way of making this kind of like a Carabao Cup?
But no one cares about the Carabao Cup either.
This is my point.
This is the issue. So I think genuinely, you either
you just
keep
chuck
it,
the reserves. I think Crofty did say that. It was like, this is like, maybe you use the reserve drivers for.
Now that would be cold. I like that.
But the thing
that's the only positive of that, I think.
But then you're having to use the F1 cars. This is the difference, right? Because in football, you can have a big squad and you can rotate the squad and you can have, you know, other players play in these cup competitions where, you know, you don't want to risk them too much of injury. You prioritize different competitions. But I think in F1, like, I don't think that really works when you've got, you know, you're putting your car in the hands of, say, a reserve pushing, you know, in this cup competition,
yeah,
the sprints could become, and then bins it, and then you don't have a car for the race, or your team's got to work overnight. Like, it is more complicated.
Yeah, and also obviously there are personal accolades in football if we're comparing, you know, Golden Boot, for example. Like, imagine final day of the season, Mo Salah could win Golden Boot and then Klopp drops him, he's going to be fuming.
Mm.
But it's not quite as intrinsic as like drivers' championship points.
Mm.
Like, if I'm in the fourth best car on the grid and I'm sitting out a race weekend, I'm sitting out a sprint, because the reserve driver's going to get in, I'm like, what do you mean? I'm in a battle in the championship right now. Yeah. Why are you depriving points from me?
Yeah.
Because ultimately, the drivers' championship and constructors' championship are both extremely important in their own right to different people.
Mm.
Whereas like a golden boot or like golden glove, like, it's kind of important, but at the end of the day, you'd rather win the league than have your striker win golden boot.
Yeah. I feel like, I don't know, maybe it's, you look at the sprints now, and part of the reason they brought the sprints in is because you want there to be competitive running on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Now, over the weekend, we actually do have we have competitive running on every day because we have F3 and F2. And maybe, I don't know, maybe it's like, do you think that people would care more about, say, F2 if all of the F1 teams had a team in F2? So say there was a Mercedes F2 team, a Red Bull F2 team. I know they're like, you see the liveries.
Yeah.
But like an actual where it felt like the F2 teams were closer to the F1 teams. Do you think that would make a difference? Do you think that would fulfill the... Because we do have competitive running on every day if you care about the F2 and F3. But ultimately, like, I watch a lot of the F2. I don't really watch the F3.
Mm.
And like, if I don't watch the F3 and like I immerse myself in this sport, then it's, you know, it's a select few who will be invested enough to watch the F3, for example. And the F2.
That's actually, yeah. I'm not 1,000% sure, just because you have so many, like, we've had Red Bull Juniors in F2 for ages, since like time began. And even though they're not like, yeah, it's not a Red Bull team that they're racing for, half of them are. Like, I think High Tech, both the drivers are Red Bull Juniors.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever team Maloney's in, I'm pretty sure they're both Red Bull Juniors. There's him and Fittipaldi.
Yeah.
Hauger's team last year was both Red Bull Junior. Yeah, so you kind of have
there's a lot of
Red Bull teams there, and there probably are some Red Bull fans who are like, oh fucking hell, there's loads of Red Bull liveries in F2. I might give this a watch or like see who the next possible Red Bull driver is. So I think that if you had a few more teams that were a little bit more invested in getting their juniors in and putting a livery on, like maybe because Vesti's a Mercedes junior driver, isn't he? So maybe if like you slapped a little Mercedes livery on that, I think there would be a little bit more interest. But I don't think it needs to be like the full-fledged teams.
Yeah, and I guess
I don't think that'll make a difference.
Yeah, really. I guess so many of these young drivers are affiliated with programs, you're right. And it's weird that, Vesti doesn't have like a Mercedes livery. Behrmann's kind of not really either. He's not got a full Ferrari livery either. So, I don't think a cup competition within F1... I don't know. Is there legs to that?
The only way that it would work in terms of like if you've got the reserve drivers in at any point, is if it was like a wild card where you actually had to, but it was a law like written in, like a rule written into sprints where, and I don't know how this would go, to be honest with you, I don't know how this would get taken, but where like every team one time during a sprint weekend has to use their junior driver, junior driver of choice.
We have that FP1 rule, don't you?
Well, yeah, but I guess, just translate that into a sprint where at some point you can choose, it can be whatever sprint race you want, but whoever's second in the championship out of your two main drivers has to sit out for a sprint race and the reserve driver comes in. That's a good way of integrating young drivers in where there's not that many seats as well and giving them actual like seat time in a race format where they wouldn't get that experience usually. But again, it's just kind of like the benefits of it. Like, would we get a lot of accidents? I don't know. Like if there's one Grand Prix where six teams decide, fuck it, we're using our wild card. You've got six rookies just randomly on the grid who've maybe never driven a Formula One car before.
And then cost cap as well. Like if drivers are shunting, obviously the
Haas don't even have a junior program. I don't even know if they have a reserve driver.
They'd have to take one of Ferrari's.
Yeah. Ferrari, the admin just gets in for a race or something. I don't know. Like
the TikToks would be fire.
Yeah, facts.
In the car.
Yeah.
There's definitely more to be done with the sprint. I still feel like they could make it work as it is. Fundamentally, where it's on a Saturday and the points go towards the championship and it is one championship.
Yeah.
I don't know, because I feel like I'd love there to be like an equivalence, like a cup competition. That could be really cool. But I just, with all of the complexity around the sport, and it's not just human beings with football boots.
Fuck it. One weekend a year where everyone, it's just a totally separate championship. It's not to do with the main championship whatsoever. But every team slaps two reserves in. They can be loaned if they want. If it's a Ferrari junior and Haas want to use them, fine, whatever. Put them in the car for the weekend and divvy out a bit of prize money based on where those juniors end up finishing in like a qualifying and race format. At a race weekend where there's no F2 or anything.
And if there's only like six sprints a year,
and
it's not every single race,
then
maybe,
because if there's prize money on the line, that maybe encourages
method to the madness.
Maybe there is. It's there somewhere. Get me, but that could be a little cup competition.
It could be.
That's like a Papa John's trophy, though, isn't it? That's not. I wouldn't say it's Carabao Cup because it's not going on for a while.
Well, you know what would be the ultimate cup competition in motorsport? The Olympics.
Oh, facts. Good segue.
Because there is talk. 2028, LA Olympics coming up, and it will be soon considered as to whether motorsport will be part of that calendar. For the first time.
Okay. I wonder how that would, like, what motorsport will we get? Will it just be Formula One, or will this be a Formula One weekend that's the Olympics? That would be cold.
The closest we have is Race of Champions, isn't it?
Yeah. Shout out. I kind of forgot that.
That's the closest we have in terms of a kind of, and multiple different types of car. Typically, it's like off-road, so they've done it, I think, snow last year. Sometimes they're doing stadiums on tarmac, and it's a bit of a mixture of different surfaces, different types of cars, and then you get different drivers representing their nations. That is the closest we have, and it's really cool. Like, I enjoy it. I wouldn't say it really, like, it's kind of just something over the winter break.
Yeah.
You know, it's on, oh, no, yeah, I'll chuck it on, let's see how people do. But if it was a really like, it feels, you know, it's a cool thing to do, but I don't think it's, I mean, the drivers, of course, are going to take it seriously behind the wheel, but it doesn't feel like this really, it's not like the Olympics. Like the official nature of, you know, put it under the Olympics and getting an Olympic medal and all that afterwards, that would, I mean, that'd be sick.
Yeah.
So how would we do it then? So say we're in charge of coming up with a format for Olympics. And again, you've got what, let's say, how many nations would we say would qualify? Maybe there's like 32, because typically you have like pre-Olympic events for something.
You do.
So you've not got literally every single nation in the world. But then there's like 32 who get to the Olympics. What are we cooking?
There's some good... I tell you what, listen. The UK, yeah, for a start, we've got a banging lineup. I'm not going to... Oh, it's 2028 though, isn't it?
It's just 2028.
So Lewis ain't still around. But we've got George. We've got Lando.
George Lando.
We've got Ollie Bearman by then. I don't know.
Yeah.
Canada. I've got Stroll, Latifi.
Yeah. No, Latifi will be managing it all.
Yeah,
he's doing his business degree, isn't
he? Yeah, so, true. Yeah, he'll be managing it all.
He'll be choreographing it.
That would actually
Jacques Villeneuve will come back.
Anything that's racing related, he'll be there. We'll be there.
So there's 22, right? So, sorry, 32. So you'd have 32 down to 16, round of 16, then quarterfinals, semis, final.
Then final, yeah.
So
imagine if it was like the 100 meters where there's like 8 lanes.
Or just a drag race.
Yeah. 8 car drag race, 100 meters.
Le Mans starts.
Whoever makes it there first wins.
All right, so what's round one? What are we doing to... Because I think round one, you want something quite... I think the complexity, you want it to increase as it goes on.
Yeah.
And the challenge. So the first kind of round, I don't know, maybe it's a... And this is in LA as well. So, you know, you've got, the thing is, they're not far from the desert. Like, you've got desert areas in California and into kind of Nevada.
Yeah, there's actually a lot of scope for this to be like very varied. You know, you could do like, you've got like Dakar style stuff you could do like in the deserts, obviously. Yeah. You've got, I don't know, like open wheel stuff. Like, I don't know if they'd be like, I don't know, rent Indy cars or something and use some of them for stuff. Or if it was Formula One car, whatever.
It may be some like Indy light cars.
Yeah.
And then do like, what's it called? There's a track that I can't stand the final corner of it. And it's in LA. And it's just, you might have played it on like Gran Turismo. Like it's...
What's the corner like?
Desert around it. It's just a really long right-hander. And it's just in the middle of the desert. That's in Florida. It's I can't remember what it's called. But a track like that, and then like just one lap in an Indy light, fastest, like top 16 go through.
Yeah.
I think something simple like that for the first. And then like the 16, maybe... The thing is, obviously, again, LA, you can't really have a... an ice rink or whatever.
Yeah, you could do a street. You could design a street track.
Yeah,
a bit of a race or something.
Yeah, you'd want like
you don't want it to all be. You don't want it to all be time trial or like just head to head like race champions. You want like an actual race in there.
Whilst
you've still got quite a few cars on the grid,
wheel to wheel.
So maybe like the round of 16 or like the final 8 would be like an actual like street track race or something around LA.
And you want to challenge different, you know, things, right? It's not just about being fast in an open wheeler. It's all these different types of cars. So I think maybe like a June buggy for the next round. Like, cause you have those
in the desert.
Yeah.
Safe.
June buggies to get you down to 8.
Yeah. Then a street track race.
Yeah. Street track race.
Touring cars or something.
Bumping
around. So you're not going to end up with like cars. Oh no, tiny bit of contact, you're out of the entire Olympics. Like you can have a bit of like bumper to bumper racing.
8 cars, which is like enough that you can get most of them on screen. You can follow each of their stories through the race.
They're all livery just as the colours of the car. It's like A1 GP back in the day.
Yes, in their flags. Love that. And then, so that then gets down to 4.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe you'd have like a final 4. Like a race.
Yeah, actually, it might be better than final 2.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you could you do the Race of Champions format in a 4? Or is that just like it has to be 2?
Yeah, it also depends. Would we have like two drivers per nation?
Yeah.
Or would it be one driver representing each? Because that would be... Because you could do like a tag team race of champions style final.
Yeah.
You had like, say you had like George and Lando in like one, and then you had, I don't know, Palou and Alonso.
Yeah.
For Spain.
Yeah.
Because Alonso will still be going.
Yeah, he still will. He'll be like 50.
And he'd love this. Like, he'd be all over that.
Yeah.
Fact. He did a podcast, high performance podcast, that I was watching this morning. Really, really good. Really interesting. And he was talking about how like much he values having done a bit of Le Mans, having kind of got out of the F1 thing for a bit. He did a bit of Dakar as well.
Yeah, done his own thing. And then
kind of look at it from the outside a bit.
Yeah.
And I think he'd be all over that. But yeah, you could maybe do like the race champion style where you go around and then you have to stop, you have to get out your car, your teammate jumps in and then around again.
Yeah.
And the winner wins.
The winner does win. Facts. That's wavy. I like that. That's good. That's good from us. I think we've just genuinely organized the entire 2028 Olympics.
I mean, it's a rough one. Who represents each country then? So we've said what, Lando.
So should we say two per?
Two per nation. So England, Lando, and I'm trying to think if there's any English drivers, because obviously you don't just want necessary F1 drivers. So I think George
it would be George and Lando though, realistically, wouldn't it? Because you've not got any IndyCar drivers. No offense to like touring car Donnies. I mean, Le Mans, if there's any Dons in Le Mans, they might get some shout.
I think New Zealand would be a really interesting one because they've got a lot of very interesting. I mean, Lawson will be of a good age by then. You've got like Nick Cassidy,
Hartley,
Marcus Armstrong, got Brendan Hartley.
Yeah.
That'd be quite a competitive.
Australia, bring back Mark Webber. Australia, Piastri and Ricciardo would be sick. Yeah. Holy shit. There's some good ones. Yeah, Spain, Alonso and Palou.
Ooh, Netherlands, you could have Verstappen and Rinus VK, who's in
IndyCar. Yeah.
It'd be good.
This is very good.
You might have Scott Dixon knocking on the door because he's still going.
Is he New Zealand or
he's
is he
New Zealand?
New Zealand.
Yeah. He's another Kiwi.
Yeah, so, gas.
Mate, Kiwis for days, man. How does such a small country produce so many racing drivers?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, wherever you're from, let us know what your two driver lineup would be for the Olympics down in the comments section.
Grosjean and Ocon. That would just be chaos.
Yeah, just be scraps all over the place.
What about US? Sergeant?
US, you would just go to IndyCar. You'd go Newgarden. And
Newgarden would be cool, I think.
My Le Mans knowledge is fucking shit, by the way.
Hertha would be good.
Hertha.
Yeah, Japan, I mean, Kobayashi would be too old for that, but you got like Miata.
Iwasa,
maybe.
Ooh.
There we go.
Yeah, wavy.
Let us know if you're watching on YouTube, let us know in the comments below. Who would represent your country, maybe?
Yes.
Wherever you are in the world, who'd represent who would be your two drivers?
Indeed, let us know.
To represent at the Olympics. Cool. Should we just Zandvoort Grand Prix, Dutch Grand Prix this weekend? I think let's just talk a little bit about what are our expectations.
Well, obviously Max Verstappen can equal the record for most wins in a row at home. It would be better if he could beat it, I think, in the Netherlands. I think there would be, the whole country would be orange for like 3 weeks, like because of the amount of flares that would go off if that was the case. But equaling it is fine as well. Do we expect anyone other than him to win, or is that a boring question?
The McLarens will be quick. I think they were quick last year.
Yeah.
There, and it's high downforce. We know that McLaren, when you bolt a lot of downforce on it, it's pretty competitive.
Yeah. Not when it has to go in a straight line.
No, exactly. But there's not too many of them at Zandvoort.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's a lot of high speed corners. So yeah. I think McLaren will go well. It's there's no logical reason to look past Max winning the race. But I do think, if anyone else is going to... I mean, the Aston Martin is pretty good, kind of low speed stuff as well. Mercedes, it's quite unpredictable, but I think it's going to be somewhat competitive.
Yeah. I think it'll be a competitive race in terms of like, I don't think it'll be domination or anything. I think we'll get probably quite a close qualifying session. Like you said, McLaren are going to be strong around there.
But Verstappen's going to win. So
Verstappen's going to win. Williams are going to struggle because they've got no high-speed downforce.
Yeah, it's going to be a painful one for Sargent and Albon.
I'm not looking forward to that. But other than that, I think that I've heard there's a few... There's potentially a few issues because there's already, I think, protesters at Zandvoort for the Grand Prix.
Right.
I saw on Twitter. There's also been a bunch of the cab drivers are potentially like going to cause a bit of...
Well, they're striking or...
Well, apparently they're not being allowed to work around the Grand Prix and there's restrictions in place. And I remember when...
I wouldn't have made it home if it wasn't for a cab.
There you go.
Last year. So.
Well, no, because I know with... when I went to Hungary and I was chatting to one of the cabbies like coming back from the track and he was like, yeah, there are certain, like every year there's, you know, you have to kind of like sign up beforehand and there's certain restrictions around there. You're not as free to, like you can't just pick people up in the road. You have to go to a certain designated area.
And
all that.
Yeah. So it's because it's like, they're city based, like town based tracks, whereas Silverstone's kind of like in the middle of nowhere.
Mm.
Whereas like Hungary, for example, is like, a little bit far out, but
it's a half hour from
basically a city. Yeah. It's basically in
the city. Zandvoort's not that far from Amsterdam either. Yeah. So I think, that could be, hopefully it was fine there. And I think the race director was like, proper fans don't bring flares because they don't want the flares, basically.
They're going to get the flares.
Come on.
You might as well embrace it. You might as well just say, everyone bring one. Honestly, you might as well. Genuinely, I think you'll embrace it, make the whole track orange.
Yeah, just
no
get the
visibility
to bring an extra visor.
Exactly, yeah, an orange filtered visor.
Bring the Zandvoort visor special.
Oh,
do we think, you know, again, Max can equal the record here at Zandvoort. I think Zandvoort's a fantastic opportunity. I think Monza's the race where he can potentially beat it. Beat Sebastian's record.
Yep, yeah.
The unbeatable record, as I coined it last year, awkwardly. Mm. How far do you think it will go, though? Like, let's do predictions, right? Let's do predictions today on the Monday, the 21st of August, right?
Yeah.
Let's predict how many races in a row will Max win. He's already won eight in a row.
Eight in a row. I think it can get to 11.
And then what happens? How does it end?
How does it end? It ends.
That's what I want to know. I want to know, so what race and then how... When and how does it end?
I don't know what race 11 would be, but it just seemed like a good number. Would that be Singapore?
Let me have a calendar.
No research here from your boy. No.
So Italy would be 10, Singapore would be 11.
See, right. Okay.
And then Japan would be 12.
Oh, so it would end in Japan, wouldn't it, if he'd already won Singapore?
Yeah, so if he won Singapore,
okay, 10,
it'd be...
10.
Yeah.
10.
It's 10.
The history of the Singapore.
So what will happen in Singapore though?
Carnage.
Explain the carnage.
Chaos, mate. Just overall.
I want a breakdown of the chaos.
Overall, below optimal situations,
okay.
Max.
Okay.
Don't know, mate. I think the Red Bull might just not be as dominant as Singapore.
I mean, he did fuck it last year, didn't he? Well, I mean, he fucked it trying to overtake Lando. The team fucked it by not putting enough fuel in his car for
Yeah. I just think it's not... There's not many tracks where I see... Red Bull being weak or anything, but Singapore might be one where other teams might have at least a slight chance.
Yeah.
Alongside them, all it takes is like one strategic error or like one unfortunate safety car or an incident or whatever. So, yeah, a little incident. Mm. I'm going for 10. I'm going for Singapore. I'm going for it's getting broken by a McLaren.
Oh,
just because of general. Incidents within like safety cars or whatever during the race.
I'm gonna say, that Red Bull's so fucking good in a straight line because I feel like Monza's one of them ones that just like,
they'll win
just
Monza,
turn up some madness because it just takes one person to fuck up their braking going into turn one.
Yeah,
I think I could see it going to US.
Oh, Jesus.
Losing it US. So I could see him getting, what is it, be 10, 11, 12.
Wait, is that Kota?
13. Yeah, I think he'll get 13 in a row and I think he'll lose it in the US.
How is he going to lose it in the US? I'm going to flip the question on you.
Logan fucking Sargeant.
Pure patriotism, ladies and gentlemon. Eagles everywhere. You won't be able to see because there'll be too many eagles.
Exactly.
And Logan Sargeant comes through.
Too much freedom will get in the way. I think that I could. I mean, look, the thing is, you can make a compelling argument beyond that, but I think you know, they're always quick in Mexico as well, but that's after the US. I think, you know, 13 races is plenty, Max. That's when, you know...
Give everyone else a chance. Again, who's winning, by the way, in COTA if it's not?
So I think it would be Charles. Because Ferrari do have the second quickest car.
Yeah, they just need to utilize
the data.
Yeah.
Facts.
The data.
They just need to pull their finger out of their asses, which is, you know, that's the Ferrari way, isn't it?
It is.
The Ferrari way.
Firmly in arse.
Should we wrap it there, mate?
Yeah, I reckon so. I reckon that is the perfect place.
Do you think so?
I think that's a good place. Yeah.
What should everyone do, Niren, before they leave?
Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. You need to, first of all, if you're watching on YouTube, then feel free to like and subscribe. Really helps us out. Algorithm and all that jazz. Again,
the algorithm.
Let us know what your two-driver Olympic squad is for your nation of choice or of birth. If you're listening only on audio platforms, then give us a 5-star rating on Spotify or wherever you are listening. Where else can they find us this week?
Where can they find us? They can find us on the bottom of this short SM7B.
Yeah, indeed.
Right under here.
You can see. Yeah.
There we are. There we are again. Yeah, we're there. Confirmed. We're there. Sorry, edit that in.
Right under there. And don't forget to check us out on Sunday for the Dutch Grand Prix. We are back with the live streams.
The live show's back, ladies and gentlemen. Come on.
It's back.
It's racing returns.
Rule seek.
Indeed.
You call it. And West Ham beat Chelsea.
Yes, exactly.
Fucking vibes.
We love to see it.
You are
really do.
Fans.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the penalty, Caicedo. We are done.
Indeed.
Pleasure
indeed.
As always.
Pleasure's all mine.
See you on Sunday for the live stream. Be there.
Adios.
Bye.